Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
Through the Appalachian Renaissance Initiative, a project of the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative, which is funded by the Federal Department of Education's 2013 Race to the Top grant, newcomers to the teaching profession and veteran forward-thinking educators are designing this positive future and beginning to see results. Willa Johnson and Tanya Turner with KVEX Fire Share Podcast bring us the story.
I'm going to go out on a limb and make a prediction. In a year or so, there's going to be a new mobile app or video project that'll surface on the internet, and people are going to wonder where it came from. You'll have the usual suspects, Silicon Valley, New York, Chicago, emerging startup communities in Kansas City, but all of those will be wrong. It's going to come from a much smaller place, a place where a small town doesn't mean 100,000 people. It's going to come from the hollers of Central Appalachia, and it's going to usher in the mindset that anyone can create anything with the right amount of hard work and opportunity.
That was Professor Bruce Parsons from the University of Pikeville and KVEX staff in a promotional video about a media platform he designed called The Holler, used to not only create and share ideas for education, but also provide information on how to create and share. Tanya Turner recently sat down with Bruce at The Holler to talk about his creation and role within KVEC and the ARI grant.
Can you tell us about the name The Holler, where it came from, and how that concept has evolved?
You know, for Eastern Kentucky, it made the most sense for me to try to break down the sort of silos in between areas. Growing up in Pikeville, I didn't really know where Whitesburg was. We never went that direction. If we were going shopping or doing something, we went towards Lexington. So, you know, in 2005, I graduated college and I was going to intern at the Apple Shop for the summer. You know, I'd grown up in Pikeville and I told my mother, I said, I have to go to Whitesburg. I don't know where that is. I don't know if I have to find an apartment. She was like, it's 30 minutes from my house.
The Holler Studio exists in two rooms on the campus at UPike. The Holler's colors are bright orange and yellow. The studio is full of microphones, computers, gaming equipment, and cameras. In the recording room, featured on the walls is bright orange soundproofing foam, wood from a reclaimed college theater set, and copyright patents. Mixed within the media gear, you'll see things like a 3D printer, an iPad robot, or a drone, just recently back from a test flight.
What is the studio, and how did it come to be?
The studio was sort of, you know, talking with the folks in the ARI team, I sort of said if we're going to ask people, students and teachers from the region to create interesting works of art or interesting sort of digital technology and pieces and things like that, that we sort of need to lead by example and to have a place where we can do very high quality multimedia production. And so this room is sort of an offshoot of that. So we just designed each wall so that you can turn the camera 90 degrees and you have a completely different backdrop, so that as we shoot different things, like we have a smart board on one side, we have sort of a video game wall on one side, we have our patents, as you talked about, on the other. But we wanted to have a place where we could just come, and so you take the technology aspect out of the creation process, where if I only had this kind of microphone, or if I only had this kind of camera, if I only had this sort of internet connection, I could do whatever. So if we eliminate those hurdles, then all you have to focus on at that point is the actual creative project you're trying to come up with.
Things that are created in the studio holler often go to live on the virtual holler, right?
Yes. Can you tell us about the virtual holler? Sure. So the virtual holler, theholler.org, is to me, that is what the holler is. And I think we're still working to find the sort of greater voice of what theholler.org is going to be. It's a social network where people can share some of the things they're working on and converse back and forth. We've got a learning management system, so at some point we'll start uploading free courses for people. So if you get a group of high school students who are super into Minecraft and they want to build some kind of Minecraft mod, and they've never done that sort of thing, but they're talking about it on the holler, then they hop over to the learning management system, and there's a free 6-week course on how they can make a Minecraft mod. So it's just a direct extension of that sort of creative effort that they're hoping to put together. But I think where theholler.org can be the most successful is as a sort of content delivery machine so that we can create things in the studio, students create things in the region, and we need to do a really good job of sort of telling the story of how people are making things, not just what they're making.
What is your favorite thing that the Holler's been used for so far, the space?
The art workshop was really great, just because I always wanted to be a filmmaker, but I couldn't afford all the things to make films as a kid. So I drew comic books instead. And so one of the first things I made on the Holler was the sort of comic section. The first film I ever made was about comic books. And so to see someone come in and actually do tutorials on how to create comics for kids in the region, that was really cool for me. Other than that, like the sort of Twitch streaming that we do, where we stream video games, or we're doing creative channels and things like that now, just because that's such a new service, and lots of students that we've talked to in high schools all want to Twitch stream, but they don't have bandwidth at home, or it seems like this thing that, even though it's completely free to do and you can create an account and 30 seconds later be streaming yourself live on Twitch, that's how easy the entry is. It was this thing that, you know, they just couldn't do it. It just seemed like too far away. So we just immediately started throwing anything and everything up on Twitch just to sort of dispel those rumors that it's hard to do, or you have to have some sort of special content to pull it off.
Parsons saw this trend in kids wanting to stream gaming online and the need to connect K-12 students to higher education, noticing that often the fear outweighed the excitement of the transition. With that in mind, he used the need to have young learners excited about school to help design what the Holler is and can be, a place for young creative minds to look to new industries for their futures.
The sort of bridge for me with the Holler and K-12 and higher ed is to help some of these young people who have a passion for a certain area of study or a profession they would like to go into, but they don't know what that path is, especially in fields of technology and gaming. I think we can sort of show them a new set of skills as a K-12 student and help them develop that enough so that when they become 18, when they're going to graduate, they can make an educated guess, or they can make an educated decision as to what they're going to pursue as a college degree, what they actually need to do to be a professional in whatever field. You know, it's very intimidating as an 18-year-old and you graduate and then suddenly you're in college and you go to your first registration setting and they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? These are the classes you need to take to make that possible. I think increasing experience levels in creativity and decision making and problem solving at that K-12 level will make those decisions much more fluid and make more sense for them when they hit a sort of college level. You know, and so if we generate a whole generation of young people from Eastern Kentucky who are collaborating and making interesting products, whatever the discipline is, as 15, 16, 17-year-olds, and they're crossing county lines and they're working between Floyd County and Harlan County and Pike County, when those students are 23 and 24, they're going to be so much farther along. They will have gotten some of that sort of the early cobwebs and the sort of fear of jumping into things out of the way. And they're not going to hesitate when they have an idea. They're going to have the ability to find people who are of a like mind or who have skills that they don't have, and then move those projects forward, whatever they may be. So I think just getting people in the practice of doing that sort of thing is good at any age level. But if we can help transition that process K-12 to higher ed, I think those sorts of transitions actually have a lasting effect on a region, more so than sort of quick fixes or whatever happens to be in style.
How would you say the Holler is impacting place-based learning, not only through technology, but language and creativity?
The sort of main argument against place-based education is that people don't have the budgets to create all that original curriculum. So my solution to that was to create online community where it would generate what that personality was, what the people of that community were hoping to learn. And so it takes a lot of that initial sort of burden off of teachers who would like to use place-based education. And that's why all of the tools on the Holler, most of which are open source, and it was designed as a package that you could just deploy anywhere else. My son is 4. His name is Finnegan. He can't really read yet, but there's a few logos and things that he recognizes the second that he sees them. So the UPike logo is one, because he's grown up with that all over his house, but the Holler logo is the other. The second he sees that, he knows exactly what it says. And for him, what the Holler is the studio space. It's a place where he comes and plays and yells into microphones and sings songs, and an iPad robot chases him around the room and he plays Mario Kart, and that's what it is. He will talk about one day he's going to have a holler, and so the word holler for him means office. And so, like, if my wife is working late, he'll say, "Is mommy at her holler?" When my mom picks him up and takes him to her office, he'll say, "You know, I was at Mimi's holler today." So holler just means office for him.
Join theholler.org today to be a part of this online community and to learn more about the work of the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative and the Appalachian Renaissance Initiative.
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.